Welcome back to the Statues Podcast. With me, I have my co-host, Crystal. And on today's podcast, we're going to jump right into it. We have a clip for today's episode.
When you're in a relationship with someone that's been through some stuff, there is no way that you are going to care for them and not be affected by the stuff, the dirt in their life. The residue of their experience is going to impact you. I'm dusty and dirty right now, not because I was rolling in the dirt, but because he was. The dirt on him says, yes, he has been through some stuff. The dirt on me says, I'm close enough to do something about it. Whether or not we choose to care for somebody, it's up to us. I know we don't always want people's dirt in our life. And I know some people's dirt might just be too much and you need to walk away. If you stay and choose to care, you don't have to point it out to them and make sure that they know that you're helping them through their darkest and deepest and saddest moments. Now, be the gentle voice, hand, and presence of healing that helps them overcome the past and the dirt and the shame in their life. It'll impact them and you. Dominate life.
The clip there, to put everything into perspective, he owns horses, and so he's talking about, like, he's doing a metaphor with him cleaning his horses. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I actually found that clip this morning, like maybe 10 minutes before you came down. And it said something to me, because I think a lot of people don't think about this when they go into a relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things that people misunderstand a lot, is how much dirt you'll pick up going into a relationship.
That's true.
Because we're so used to being
alone, like single in terms. Yeah.
Like, sometimes I don't even want to say that. Sometimes we're so used to being narrow-minded.
Oh, like just thinking about ourselves, because we haven't really had someone else there with us. So there's no, like, thinking about that plus one.
Yeah, and this doesn't just go for relationships, right? This goes for your friendships. This goes for everyone that you bring into your life, that you're going to pick up dirt. If you accept them into your life, that you will end up picking up their dirt and treading that dirt. Mm-hmm. And that's something that people don't take. That's something that people don't understand. Like, you know, thinking about it, you know, like when we started dating, 7 years ago, it's not something that came to mind at first. It's never something that comes to mind at first. You don't think about how much dirt you have or your partner has. Mm-hmm. And then as you go on, you start to realize certain things and you start to see certain things. And seeing those things, it opens your eyes to a whole new world. And it's something that is hard to grasp. And this is why people break up.
Yeah.
Like, you see it a lot in younger couples now, is the moment things start to get hard, or the moment dirt from the other person comes out, it's almost like, okay, I'm going to run the other way. And then, you know, this is from what I see, is I see a lot of young couples do that, and that's why they're never in a committed relationship.
Yeah, no, that's true. I feel like when you have unexpected dirt, like baggage that comes in the relationship, obviously no one is like always, no one's prepped to deal with all that, but there are a lot who fear that because they're so comfortable not having to worry about other people, and then they just are like, deuces. Yeah. And they leave, which is sad though. It's because, like, yes, not all relationship will work out, but I feel like to give up because of the extra things in the relationship, it's really sad, you know, because you could make it work, you know, you could have something beautiful with the other person. It's just whether you can handle that or not. I feel like it's easier said than done, but it really just does come down to the two people and if they're willing to work it out.
Yeah, no, and see, this is the one thing, is I hear that phrase all the time. It's easier said than done. Mm. It is easier said than done, no doubt about it. But the one thing about it is, for you to say it's easier said than done, then don't be in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Because that comes the moment you're in a relationship. Mm-hmm. That's a relationship true. Becomes selfless. It's not about you and the other person anymore. Once you get into a relationship and it becomes that committed relationship, it is about everyone in that person's life and everyone in your life and finding that equal balance between the two.
Yeah. You know, it's like I said, you know, not a lot of people are aware of this. Even for us too, it's not like we're shy about it. You know, we talk about it all the time that we never went into this relationship thinking about, you know, all the other things. We were just like, either we liked each other or we're not. We're just there. And I feel like that's so common in a lot of relationships, like you say. And I feel like that's what causes a lot of like your own like anxiety and like pressure too in the relationship.
Yeah, of course. And it causes, once that anxiety and that pressure is applied onto the relationship, both sides don't know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's when things occur in the relationship. Problems occur. And with all these problems that occur in the relationship, I think that's when it gets to a point where it gets like super hard, where people start thinking about breaking up. It's like he says in the clip is, we are the ones that get to choose if we want to be in it. And at the end of the day, most people never make it past that decision.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
The moment that decision comes up, it's as simple as, yeah, no, this isn't worth it.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it comes in a form of like big events in one person's life, in the relationship. There are a lot of people that we both know, either together or individually, who, you know, have been together for so long, but it always comes down to that one factor, that one decision that could either make it or break them. You know, even though they could have been together for like over 8 years plus, you know, it's always just that one decision. But for some reason, it's like I say, it's easier said than done, because it seems like such a simple answer to that one problem. But if you haven't thought about it, and then when you're forced to think about it, you realize there's so many other things that you didn't take into factor.
Yeah, and there's something that he says that I do have to disagree with, and he talks about it. He says that you don't have to tell your partner all the time about it. And I'm not saying that you do have to tell them all the time. I'm just saying you should bring it up. Because if you don't, you have to understand that that person's lived the way they've lived. So what they see as normal, we as their partner will not see it as normal. So, you know, like, for instance, like the way your family was, mm-hmm, and the way my family is, it's two very different things.
Oh, yeah. No,
so
definitely.
So for me, I know something is normal and you know something is normal. But the moment I see something that is a little more difficult for me to comprehend, then, you know, telling you about certain things like, hey, you know, like, you know, maybe you don't see it this way, but I see it this way and it doesn't look that great. And in doing so, it allows for the other person to kind of look at their life and kind of just be like, oh, I didn't see it that way.
Yeah.
And it takes that pressure off the partner too, where it's like, do I have to fight with my morals about jumping in and being like, hey, I'm going to stop this issue, you know?
Mm-hmm. But you know, I feel like I interpret that part differently, because I feel like when he said that, because he specifically said something for that, and I took it as, oh, you don't need to constantly tell your partner, like, thank you for helping me, thank you for, like, always reminding them, hey, like, I have your back.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Like, I feel like that, I don't know if we're like talking about the same thing, because he says, oh, like, you don't need to tell your partner, like, you know, thank you for having your back. Because I feel like when you're in a relationship, you're going to have each other's back regardless. Like, or I feel like you should have each other's back. That's why you're in the relationship, especially if you're in a long-term relationship.
Yeah. No, and that I agree with, you know.
It's good to be reminded.
It's good to be reminded, you know, but to be constantly reminded,
it's like reminding of the thing that's there, like, yeah, the elephant in the room between you guys.
You know, and that's the thing, right? Is if I were to be if I were to be thanked every time I were to be there and help you, I think I would just get tired of hearing it. Yeah. Because it's natural for someone to help.
Mm-hmm. And at that point, it feels like maybe people can interpret differently, but like they could interpret it as, oh, now it feels like, excuse me, it feels like it's a chore, or like it feels like it's a job because you're constantly thanking me. Rather, yes, it's nice to be thanked or like reminded that, you know, like you yourself are going to be there for the other person. But to constantly do that, it feels like it's an obligation now, not out of choice because you care and love for them and you just want to help them through the dark times.
Yeah. No, and, you know, I think that's the hardest part in a relationship is that conversation that you and your partner have to have regarding, you know, like, issues.
Yeah, I think we talked about it on the podcast before was, you know, after getting married, you know, and everything, we sat down and we talked about, well, I asked you about it because I am vocal about certain things, like, you know, like, obviously, it's hard to tell you everything.
Yeah.
But I'm very vocal about, like, how I'm feeling or, like, what's going on. But you've always been the more quiet and silent type where, you know, you don't talk about your feelings. But because I've been with you for so long, I know how you feel.
Yeah.
But when we talked about everything and you kind of just let it off your shoulders, I feel like that was that moment.
And in regards to that situation, so, like, I'm not shy and I'm not one to shy away from something like that because I think a lot of guys go through that.
Mm-hmm.
Is the thing about about that situation, right? We'd been together for like 7 years. We got married, but before we got married, marriage was one of those topics that was like very taboo to us.
Yeah, no, I think that was our like that deciding factor for our relationship. You know, I don't want to call it dirt because it wasn't dirt, but it was just more of like, oh, I mean, you wanted to talk about it all the time, you know, because you're much older. Okay, not much older, but you are older than I am. So for me, talking about marriage it wasn't a bad thing, you know. It was just everything that was leading up to it and all the pressure that was there that made marriage so, like, you know, I don't want to blame it on my parents, but when you have parents like mine who have that kind of relationship, you have this fear that maybe you will end up like them.
Yeah, and this comes with, you know, like 7 years worth of dirt. Okay. This mm-hmm. is 7 years worth of dirt that each person brings to the table. It's not just your dirt. It's not just my dirt. It's everyone's dirt, your mom's dirt, my parents' dirt, you know, everything's on the table for us. Yeah. And so leading up to that moment, when we got married was when I first felt like for the first time in 7 years, I first felt like you could trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I think that was like the big weight that was on my chest was I had already asked you to marry me, I think 3 times?
Yeah.
3 times. Three times. That was the fourth and last time. And I even said to you, like,
no, we talked about it. You said, you know, like, after this year, if there's nothing with us, I'd rather we just break up and then we heal, you know, like we love each other. But if we're not going to, like, more specifically for me, you know, because you felt like I couldn't trust you, you know, that I couldn't depend on you, even though I depend on you a lot. Like, you are my backbone.
And,
so,
and like where I came from when we had this conversation. So I know that the story is like very jumpy, it's here and there, but leading up to that moment was extremely hard for us because she had her thoughts about marriage. I had my thoughts about marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to get married not because of the traditional thoughts of marriage, but so that if I got married, I could protect you a lot more from the bad things that were happening to you. Mm-hmm. Because this, in my head, it was, I'm your boyfriend and I can't do anything if anything were to happen. Mm-hmm. If your mom said something, that's your mom. What am I going to say?
Yeah.
But if I'm your husband, it's a different story. Now your mom can't say shit. Now, no matter what happens, no matter what outsider were to say something, they can't say anything. I'm there and they're not going to say anything. Mm-hmm. And especially with how, you know, like, your mom knows about my, how protective I am.
Yeah.
And how aggressive I get when it becomes protective.
Yeah. I think my mom has definitely seen that firsthand. You know, like, even if there was bad blood between you and my mom that one night that happened with, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You were about to, like, knock him down. Like, because regardless, like, that's just the person you are, though, is that you're very protective of the people you care about.
Yes.
And I think my mom saw that for, not the first time, but, like, to see it more, like, up close, and especially because this is about her, too.
Yeah.
She got to see that.
Yeah. And I've always had that where it's, like, I know my boundaries. Mm-hmm. As a boyfriend, I'm not going to step in because I can't step in. Yeah. That's not my place. But as a husband, it's different. As a husband, at that point, you and me, we are one. I'm not saying that you're not one with your mom, but it's, like, at that point, I take care of you. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, I was going to take care of you. And then so when asking you to marry me, it became almost like an obligation. After the first time, it was kind of just like, okay, I understand the first time. The second time, it was like, okay, I guess I'll try to understand. And then the third time was like the huge blow to my mentality, where it was like, ooh, okay, now I need to really think about our relationship. Mm-hmm. And so in all that, and leading up to when we got married and then when we had that conversation was the first time in 7 years where I could freely talk to someone. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't have friends. It's not that I don't have family to rely on. But it's like you said, I'm very quiet. And I don't like to talk to people. I think talking to people is a nuisance. I think talking to people is stupid. Because if I talk to people about my issues, what are they going to say?
Yeah.
Sometimes for me, it's not like, sometimes for me, you know, it's not just about listening. Like, I need to hear a different perspective.
Yeah, but more so I feel like, I'm not comparing you to anybody else, but
yeah,
when it's hard to talk to other people when they haven't gone through as much or as equal to what you've gone through. So the advice that you've always been the type where, like, oh, if I'm going to give advice, I've got to do it. You know, like when that situation happened with Kimi, you went and you went to go do it first. And then you talked about it with my sister.
Yeah.
So to hear advice from somebody else, if they haven't gone through similar things, as comforting as those words are for you, they're like, they're, it's not backed up with actual action.
Yeah.
So essentially it's almost useless, even if it sounds comforting.
Yeah. And, you know, when I did get to speak from the heart, that was the first time that, like, everything was laid out on the table. Mm-hmm. For the first time in a long time between us, it was everything was out on the table. You know, regardless if, you know, and it's like I said, is I know that you were hurt, but you weren't hurt because, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, you weren't hurt because...
I wasn't hurt. Okay. I was hurt by your words, but not in a sense where, like, I felt like...
Like, it was directed to you.
Yeah, I felt, like, the hurt I felt was more so, oh, shit, like, this was happening, but I was so oblivious and blind to what was happening right in front of me. Even if I lived every day, it was like, I saw you every day. I saw my family every day. But for some reason, all of that seemed oblivious to me. Like, it wasn't there at all. Like, it was like I was watching a play and I missed that important scene. So I was hurt for not realizing that my actions that I thought I was doing right for myself and my family was hurting you to that extent, and the things that were going on in my family.
Yeah.
Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, and it makes sense, right? And this is one of the reasons why I stayed quiet up to that point, was because I knew what I was getting into. Because you and I, we did have a conversation when the relationship got serious, mm-hmm. about if I wanted to stay or if I wanted to go, I knew that everything I felt was valid. Mm-hmm. That it came because I said yes. I took that responsibility and I said yes. And it was one of those things that it was like, no matter how hurt I got, no matter how painful it was, I said yes to the dirt. And so I should take it, and I will continue taking it until you were ready to move on.
Yeah.
And so when you were ready, it was kind of just like, the situation wasn't about you being ready. The situation was more like, we had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so in doing so, when we did get married,
it's like I said, I'm grateful for the family that I was given in terms of, you know, marrying you, but it wasn't a happy occasion for the both of us, and I don't want it to be that way, but it's always going to be a sad thing for us to think about, because you especially was so hurt by everything to be married like that with still those negative feelings. You were ready to be married, but not like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Like, at that point, marriage wasn't anything special. Marriage was more of that thing that I needed to do so that I could protect you. But it was no longer something special.
Yeah, it was no longer like that feeling that it's like...
It came with a lot of resentment. It came with a lot of anger. It came with a lot of...
unnecessary stress.
Yeah, and like every time I thought of marriage, it was supposed to be happy. You know, it was supposed to have your sister. It was supposed to have your mom. It was supposed to be big. But the fact that when we did get married, what it was wasn't... what it turned out to be wasn't what I had planned or what I wanted. It was kind of just one of those moments that, okay, let's get this day done.
It was
then tomorrow we can just continue on with mm-hmm. it being a regular day.
It was like a painful reminder of everything that happened to us.
Yeah.
Because leading up to that point, I know that, you know, like people would disagree with you saying you could have had them there. But for us, it's like, it's so fresh though. Like you don't understand is that there is anger there. Like, there's anger between both parties. So why would we want to have the other person there? And then all we're going to do is just silently, like, make snide comments or, like, be mad at each other.
And this is one of those things, right, is we were maybe, what, four months in at that time when we had the wedding?
No, it was, we moved in July. So that was
June already. Mid-June.
Oh, you're right, because we moved around Father's Day. June, July, August. No, like, less than 3 months.
Yeah, so we were only 3 months in, and so the wounds to me were still fresh. It was hard. The animosity that I felt, the rage, the... everything that happened was still at the top of my head. I was just very depressed, and you know, like, even now, it's not something that goes away. It's one of those things that I always say is like, look, it's a scar, and scars stay.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, the scar will heal, but I'm going to see the scar and be reminded of how I got that scar. And so it was one of those things where it was like, the scar hadn't healed yet at that time. It was still bleeding. It was still hurting. And so no matter what, you know, like even with my mom and my dad pushing for us to ask your mom and your sister to come to the wedding, as much as I wanted it to, I didn't, because I didn't want you and I didn't want me to get hurt, and I didn't want something that should be happy to turn into a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, though, had we done it, it would definitely, without a doubt, be a disaster, because as much as I would have wanted my sisters there, it wasn't about them that, you know, would have been the problem. It would more so been my mom, you know?
Yeah.
And so I remember, like, the day before, we got home, we were tired, and then literally right the next day, we woke up at, like, 5, and we were like, okay, let's get this day over with. Like, yeah. that was the, like, the thought that we had. It was just so, you know what it is? It's like I said, that day should have been very happy for yeah. us, but it was more so that painful reminder of, we just left, so.
Yeah, and you know, it was, and I'll say this, is it's so painful that I don't have any pictures from the wedding.
No, if anything, like.
I didn't.
We have that lovely gift that I don't want to put up because I don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
Like, it's there, it's staring at me every time we do the podcast, and I don't want to think about it. I don't yeah. want to even look at any of the pictures, you know, and, you know, my friend was very happy for us, but I wasn't happy. I, yeah. by means, this, like I said, we might sound ungrateful. I might sound ungrateful. I'm grateful, but I'm also very sad about it. Like, I just don't want to think about it.
Yeah. And this is what I mean by, this is the kind of dirt that is picked up in a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, shit happens.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, because of everything that happened, it just built up and built up and built up to a point where it was like, okay, you know, when you finally asked me and I broke down and I just said everything, it was kind of just one of those moments where it was like, okay, what's done is done. Now I just move on.
Yeah. You know, like, I want to have good memories, but it's just so hard to have good memories when it's just there staring at your face.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, these things in a relationship, everybody goes through.
Yep.
It's whether you and the other person are willing to work through, because it's not only just the dirt, it's also your differences of opinion too that are there. For us, you know, like, we for sure, without a doubt, had differences of opinions or approaches to how we wanted to do things.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, I just
and see, and the reason why I brought this topic up was because there are a lot of people that are in that phase of, they want to get married, but maybe something with their partners, or, you know, they're dating and something's happening with their partners. Mm-hmm. And this shit happens. It happens every day.
Yeah, you know,
everyone,
like,
everyone goes through it.
That's true. You know, like, when I said earlier is that, oh, you, like, you could make it work. By any means, it's not, like, a forcing thing. If it doesn't work out, that's fine. Because regardless, you're going to find somebody. Even if you're okay being alone, that's not a crime. Because if anything, you're concentrating on yourself, you know, more than ever. And you're able to find more about yourself, no matter how old or how young you are. You know, like, if it doesn't work out, don't force it. Because why? If you force it, you're going to get hurt. The other person's going to get hurt. And then at the end of the day, if you break up, you're going to have this bad impression of what a relationship or what a guy, girl, whatever gender is like. And you're going to have such a negative thought about relationships in general, because that relationship could have ruined everything for you. Like, you know what I mean? There are a lot of people that feel that way.
Yeah. And, you know, for those that believe that the person that you're with is the love of your life, I'm not going to say that they're not. But I'm also not going to say that
they are.
I'm not going to say that they are. But I also believe that with the how many billions of people that we have in this world, that one person is it. You know, I it's like I've always said to you is, you aren't the love of my life. I chose you to be the love of my life when I said yes and I stayed persistent.
Mm-hmm. That's also like mom and dad too, though. They talk about it all the time.
Yeah, it's it's the same mentality of, you are not the love of my life. But when we make that commitment, yes, now you are. Mm-hmm. Only when I see a commitment or when we make that commitment are you the love of my life. But, you know, when dating, you know, it's one of those things that, yes, you have a honeymoon phase, and that honeymoon stays for a long time.
Maybe it's nice. It's comforting. Yeah,
it's like, what, two years, 2 to 3 years, mm-hmm. where you're in that honeymoon phase.
It's that three-year curse.
Yep, but it's always three-year curse. And that three-year curse comes when you start to realize you've been with this person and every flaw that they have is now out on the table.
Mm-hmm. Or if anything, at that point, you feel like your relationship hasn't progressed in a way where it should. And it's so obvious. It's because it's staring at you in the face.
Yeah. And it's the same thing since day one.
Yeah.
And at that point, if it's the same relationship that it's been since day one, you and your partner need to look at each other and just ask yourselves, what's wrong? Because a relationship has growth. Whether that growth is deteriorated growth, it's still growth. And when I mean deteriorated growth, I'm talking about, okay, you have your own issues, they have their own issues, and you might not be the same person that you were when you first started dating, but you're someone else and you're different. And, you know, the shit that you go through makes you who you are. That's life. We all go through that shit. We're all going to go through life. We're all going to get hurt through life. And if your partner cannot look at that person and be like, oh, that's still the love of my life, that's still someone that I chose, and they say, oh, that you're not the same person that I started dating, then at that point, they're the issue. Life happens. Everyone changes.
Yep, that's true.
The person that I was when we first started dating compared to the person that I am today are a whole, like, 180. It's extremely different.
Yeah, no, it is, you know. But I think, how do I say this? Like, we handled it, like, the same, yet differently from how other couples do it. You know, everybody goes through it the same, but it's how you see it and then approach it after is what makes a difference. But I feel like that's why a lot of people cheat, too. You know, like, when you have so much, like, baggage, so much dirt, and then you just can't take it, mm-hmm. and you go and you cheat. I'm not saying that this should be an excuse and a reason to cheat. I hate cheaters. I don't believe in that. But I feel like that's like the main cause.
It's an escape.
Yeah.
It's an escape from the reality that they're living in. Mm-hmm. Is the person that they're cheating with is their means to walk away for a little bit and then come back. And that's why I say is like, look, at that point, they say this is, if women cheat, it's because it's emotional. If men cheat, it's because it's physical.
Men can cheat emotionally too.
Exactly. But why I bring this up is because men cheat because it's physical. Men cheat for physical use, but it's also because it's an escape. It's an emotional escape.
Yeah.
It's that rush that you get that it's kind of just like, okay, I don't feel suffocated. I don't feel depressed. Mm-hmm. Everyone goes through it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just how a person deals with it. And that shit happens. That shit breaks a person.
Yeah.
But in a relationship, you're going to pick up dirt. It just, are you willing to stay by that person's side and help clean off that dirt? Mm-hmm. The dirt will never settle. The dirt will never rest. It's always going to come and it's always going to be there.
Yeah. You know, like people, like there's that saying that, you know, I see people say often is that when people cheat, it's because the other person is lacking something that they're not getting. And it's true and yet it's untrue. If your partner is lacking something, doesn't mean that you go and you cheat and you find that in somebody else. You know, like your partner has that ability and that quality as well too. But maybe it's, I'm not, maybe it's you that is also not allowing them to be that way. You know, like there's so many factors into a relationship that people don't consider, and it's just crazy, you know, like how people just tend to push it aside and ignore it and then just go about whatever they're feeling for that moment.
Mm-hmm. It gets hard, okay? And as someone that's been in a relationship, and you know, we both tread dirt, and it's a lot of dirt. It's not little, it's a lot. We still have to, you know, we still deal with that dirt every day. Is that no matter what, that dirt is yours. That dirt, you chose to be with that person. You chose that responsibility. Whether you want to break it off right. But if you decide to stay, then do it right too. You know? Mm-hmm. With us, it was hard. The last, I think maybe 5 to 6 years into our relationship there, it got hard. It got extremely hard.
Yeah.
The only reason, and I always say this to you, is the only reason it worked out was because we got lucky and your baby sister was there. And I stay attached to her and I lost my attachment to you. Mm-hmm. And then as the relationship, you know, it worsened and it worsened. And then it got to a point where it was like, it got to last year where we left together and we were now put in a room together every day.
Yeah.
It made me re-love you again because I could see how hard you were working to, I don't want to say match me, but you were working to catch up. Catch up for the lost time. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's what made me fall deeper in love with you already. Like I was already in love with you. That's why I could stay. That's why I could manage everything. But during the 5 year mark and 6 year mark there, it was the toughest. I stayed attached to your baby sister. And that's why, you know, her and I, we have such a beautiful relationship. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now that it's just you and me, you know, it is getting better and it will get better.
Mm-hmm. Like, we don't ever pretend that we're perfect, and by no means are we like we don't go and we like scream out our like problems, but we're not shy to our problems because we know that you and I have problems, you know, like in a relationship. But I'm glad that there's a part of me that wish that we didn't go through so much, you know, hurt, because that all could have been avoided without a doubt. At the same time, I feel like for me, had I not gone through that, I probably wouldn't be the person I am today, because I learned a lot from it too. You know, that I learned quite a bit from that whole experience, as depressing as that sounds.
And I agree, is that I wish that we didn't go through it, but I also can't say that because going through it allowed for us to grow a lot. It allowed for us to grow mentally, and it allowed for us to grow as individuals. Mm-hmm. You know, it was because of those events that I could look at myself as a better person, because I didn't know how much I could care for people. I didn't know how much I could love other people. You know, it got to a point where, you know, I always say this, is that as much as your mom and I, we have bad blood, she also knows how much I love you. Mm-hmm. And I'll take it.
That's true. My mom she's very difficult to try to get along with.
Extremely.
You know, but I think she knows how much that you care for me. So even, you know, through all that, she's still okay with it, because she knows that, I feel like deep down, even if she tries to deny it, she knows that no one will be able to take care and handle all my craziness as well as you do.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, you know, throughout the years, that's what I was taught. Through all the pain and the headache and the times where I thought it was going to be over, I also learned that I have a lot of resilience, that I have a lot of patience, that I have the strength to stand up for what I believe in. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that was surprising for me, was that I didn't know I could stand up for something that I believed in.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You know, like, seeing how my parents' marriage was, by no means am I dissing my dad, okay? My dad's a very strong person. But towards the end, it was almost like he gave up. And so for me to see you not give up through all that, it made me love you even more. You know, that you didn't give up on me, on us, and, you know, like, our family. Even though there were times where even I could tell you definitely wanted to, because, you know, who wouldn't, you know, in that situation, you're going through so much. You're being pushed beyond your limits every single time, but you seem to have stuck it out every single time. And even though it was exhausting, you were like, you know what, because I love and I care for you, we're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that, you know, like, even now, your sister and I, we don't have, we don't have the same relationship that we did before. But it's one of those things that I also understand that she's growing up and that she doesn't need me. And that's what I learned through everything that we had gone through, was that that's life.
Yeah.
That's how life is. That if she comes back to me and, you know, we get close, then we get close. But if not, then I also understand. I also understand, because I was like that too, is when I walked away from my parents, it was like I was giving up on them, and it was, and it felt like they had to let me go. But, you know, I worked hard to come back. And if she decides that, okay, she's going to come back to us, then great, she'll come back to us. But if not, you and I, we've also understood that through everything that we've gone through, this is just another process of life that we have to come to terms to.
Yeah, because, you know, it's not just my sister. One day when we have kids, our kids are, we're going to go through that with our own kids, you know, where they grow up and, you know, they're not going to need us anymore, you know, because they're adults. Mm-hmm. It's, if anything, it's us who needs them, because we love them so much. We don't want to let them go, you know. That's why I understand.
I think that's something that I've started to understand, is it's not the kids that need us, it's that we need them. And that's something that I've started to understand over the year, is that I thought your sister always needed us, but it was more so that we needed her. And then it became like, you know, it's hard to say, right? And I will probably never tell her, is raising her from the time that she was 12 up until she was 17 was the hardest time of my life. But it was also the most beautiful time of my life. Mm-hmm. Because I got to see a little girl turn into a woman and go out and live her life and become this decisive human that she is now. And she knows what she wants. She knows how strong she is. She can do it. But she doesn't need me. And I've also come to terms with that, is that I think because of our relationship, it was me that needed her. It was me that needed her, because when I left my family to go live with yours, that gap of period, I promised myself that I wouldn't go back home unless I was successful. And so I never went back unless it was just, you know, to visit my parents here and there, to say hi, but I worked hard during those years. But during those years, you, your sister, your mom, and then your baby sister became my family. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like, that's how it ended up. But that's why, you know, like I always say to people, is that you tread other people's dirt too. Mm-hmm. It's not just the person that you're in a relationship with. You know, I treaded your sister's dirt, your mom's dirt. You know, that's life.
Mm-hmm. It's it's hard when, you know, like, as you know, I don't like it when people say that you left your family because, you know, you left your family to go be with another family, because that's not true, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you've worked so hard to get to know my family, be there for my family, but be there for yours as well, too. There were many times where, you know, your dad called you, you know, talking about how, oh, like, he's having a rough day or, you know, something happened. And immediately, you know, like, you would go and you would get up and be like, hey, I'm going to go drive down, make sure my parents are going to be okay. Or if your parents needed you, you know, like, you didn't have, this is what people don't understand. You don't have to physically be there for your family, you know, yeah. Like, it would be comforting for them if you were there, because it's like your presence, you know, but if your parents ever needed you, you were a phone call when you always picked up.
Yeah.
You know, if your parents were short of something or they needed a little money, you would drive down. Okay. Like, it's an hour, like, it's a 2-hour drive total. Driving from where I was to your parents and back, it's an hour each time. So you would drive down, drop off money, and then come back. You know, that's why, like, I don't like it when people say these things about you, because it's not true. You work so hard for your family. You just don't want to, like, you're not the type to, like, be like, oh, I went and did this and this and this for them. You've never been about like that.
To me, it's not about that, you know. It's never been about that. Like,
but that's why you say actions speak louder than words. Your actions speak louder to me, like, how you are as a person.
Yeah, and, you know? And that's why even my company, you know, like, you know that the people that I take into my company, they have to be a certain way. Mm-hmm. Because if I can't work with you, or I can't,
like, click with you,
click with you, then there's no point in me working with you. You become my family at that point. I take care of you. You know, like, there's a lot, like, we deal with being in music and being in the entertainment field and doing what we do. There, we deal with a lot of mental health. Mm-hmm. And especially with what Statues Collective stands for, mental health is at the forefront of what we do. And so I'm always going to be there for my people, no matter what they go through, no matter if they need me or they don't, you know, I'm always going to be there. You know that if someone calls me, I'll pick up right there and I'll spend like 3-4 hours talking to them to make sure that they're okay. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I pride myself in, is taking up their dirt, because that's the relationship that I built. Mm-hmm. And I'm not afraid to pick up their dirt.
Yeah, you know, like, people don't think about it like that. You know, like, by no means, okay, you are far from perfect. And, you know, I don't like to praise you all at home, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I get so sad when, you know, like, people go and, you know, they talk shit. But I'm like, you don't understand that this guy takes up your dirt, too. Like, there are things that, you know, people come to you about, or, you know, like, you don't have to. You don't have to talk to them about it. You don't have to deal with it. But you do, because you care for them. That's why I don't like it when people, you know, go and talk shit, because even during those years that you were not physically there, you were still there.
Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest part, right, is I know that some of my family resents me for that. For leaving and not coming back.
But it doesn't mean that you ran away, though. Like, I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to say anything. But from my perspective, you know, like, I feel like you do more without having to actually say it, you know?
And that's the thing, is, like, look, with me not being there was my choice, yes. And I understand that it was going to come with consequences. I understood that my choices and my actions were going to come with consequences. And they did come with consequences. Mm-hmm. That's why I don't say anything.
Yeah.
That's why I deal with my depression the way I deal with it. Because I also understand what it looked like to people. But in my family, no one has ever took chances.
Yeah, no, you know, like, I'm not saying that they're not there for their family. I understand they're going through their own thing. You know, everybody has their own problems, even in their own family, even within themselves, you know? But you can't go and you can't talk like that to, you know, about somebody when you don't understand them, you know? Like, you've always been about taking chances, but you've always thought about your family first.
Yeah.
Like, when you think about starting a new company, you know, like, for you, it's easy, you know? You could just do it, but will it be a repercussion to your own family? You've always thought about your family first. Always.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, because, like, my first company, it affected my parents a lot because I was still young. I was reckless.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time that I started up this company, I had a lot more worries to think about. This time, I'm an adult. I have to think about certain things. I have to be able to deal with certain things. I have to be quick, think on your feet, almost. Think on my feet a lot. And this way, so I don't hurt people.
Yeah, no.
And you know, like, the people that I take on and the people that join my company and the people that leave later, you have to understand that I have an understanding that people aren't going to stay. I've always said to you is that my company is not here for people to stay. My company is here to only help people grow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's meant to do, is that I'd be grateful if they stayed and they want to stay. But at the end of the day, I know what I'm doing. At the end of the day, my company is only here to be a piece of their growth, to allow for them to grow and become better humans out there in the world. And, you know, maybe to people that are around me, it doesn't look like much. Maybe to them, it doesn't feel like much.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a saying that, you know, I heard was, happiness is amazing. It doesn't have to be my happiness. It's the people that are around me that if they are happy, I'm just as happy as they are.
Mm-hmm.
I get to witness artists that think they'd have no chance release a full single with promotions, with everything, and get to experience that kind of happiness with them. That's why I do what I do. It's because this is a piece of their journey that they will share with people in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to be a part of that journey. I get to be a part of their happiness. It's the same thing with what I do for my family, is that when I left for the mere fact that I knew that I wasn't going to be anything where I was.
Mm-hmm.
And that I need to take this risk and this chance that I could do something.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not faulting. Okay, like, I am, but, like, in a sense where, like, I get why, you know, they see it that way, because, you know, like, for them, taking chances in certain families,
yeah,
you know, like, taking chances means that you're gonna hurt people. You know, means that you're not going to be able to support for your family, you know, and if you have a wife, you're not going to be able to support her. And I get that. But at the same time, like, are you really living if you're not taking any chances?
And, like, and you know, like, I always say this, is these are our opinions. It, you know, some people say working a 9-to-5 will suffice. Working this will suffice. I do agree. But
I wouldn't have you any other way, though, because you would be miserable if you didn't.
Yeah, and this is where I'm coming from, is that even when I have a wife, my happiness also has to come with it. And I can't lose my happiness for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know what that felt like when I started really getting into taking care of your family. I had to make certain sacrifices. And making those sacrifices, I was never happy. I couldn't do certain things. I wasn't, you know, it was looked down upon if I did. And in doing,
like, even if I told you to do it, like, there are many times in the conversations where you're like, oh, should I? Like, the topic of going to school. I said, going to school, like, you're never too old to go to school. But it's your choice if you want to or not. If anything, you have to do it for yourself. Yeah. If you want to go to school, go to school. But if you don't do it. You know, like, it's like these, you know, examples, like, that's why I wouldn't have you any other way, because I know that if you didn't go and chase for your own dreams, you would be miserable. And I would have to live with you being miserable.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. But I'd rather you be happy trying to live your life, doing what you wanted to do and doing what you couldn't do during the, you know, that time living with me, you know, at my parents' house. I want you to achieve everything you want to, you know.
Yeah. And you know, like, I think this is something that I've found for myself, is that in a relationship, you become more selfless throughout the years. But sometimes you need to look at yourself and ask yourself what you want for yourself. Not in the relationship. Take the relationship out of it at that point. You know, like 5, 6, 7 years later. But look at yourself and kind of just be like, what do you want? Is this what you want for yourself? And talk to your partner about it. Because, you know, in a relationship, sometimes people get stuck always thinking about each other. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, you get stuck.
Yeah.
And that's when the relationship gets tiring, gets hard.
It's exhausting. It's like you're fighting with like demons that you didn't think was there.
Yep.
But it was always there to begin with. You know, that's why I think in a relationship, and this is something that I will for sure, you know, like we will for sure teach our kids, is that if you're going into a relationship, you have to be prepared to deal with your, one, your own shit, and two, their shit.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just go into it thinking, oh, you know, like, I'm just in it, you know, because I like that person. It's beyond liking a person. It's about accepting their flaws and every imperfection that they have and every skeletons in their closet, good or bad. Like, that's just the reality of a relationship. It's not perfect. That's why, don't get me wrong, I love a Disney movie, but even I know that's the flawed thing about growing up with watching Disney. Like, and the it's not just Disney, but the false pretense of what, you know, like, you're going to meet someone, like, love at first sight, and you're going to marry them, and you're going to live happily ever after.
Yeah. You know, in a relationship, I will say this is, like, the one piece of advice that I will give people. And I'm not saying that I'm an expert. I'm not saying anything like that. What I'm saying is that from my own personal experience is that learn to balance out your relationship with your partner, your relationship with your family, your relationship with her family, and then your relationship with yourself. The relationship with yourself is one of the hardest things to do. It's one of those things that you forget when you're balancing everything out. Is the relationship that you have with yourself.
Yeah.
The relationship that you have with yourself, it can be a negative one or it can be a positive one. Mm-hmm. And I will say that for me, the relationship that I had with myself for years here was a very negative one. Only until recently did it become something positive. When I looked at myself and I said, what did I want to do? Not what I wanted to do as a couple, not what I wanted to do as a married couple, not what I wanted to do as a son for my parents or you know, a brother for my brothers and sisters and your sisters there. What did I want? And that was the first time that I took that step of asking myself what I wanted. And in doing so, it opens up this road of opportunity. And this road of opportunity, it allows for you to once again grow and become the best version of you for everyone else. Everyone else gets to reap the benefits.
Yeah.
And that's something that you need to understand, is that it's not selfish. It's not selfish. Everyone will reap the benefits of you being the happiest version of you that you can be. But remember that in a relationship, it takes a lot of balance. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of resilience.
Yeah, you know, your partner is important, but you yourself are also just as important as the other person in the relationship. I think that's what people always forget. And I think that's something that, you know, we want everybody, you know, our listeners to take away, is that you are just as important as the other person in the relationship.
A relationship, it's hard. It's not something that you'll get into and completely understand, you know. And to all the younger people that are listening, a relationship, it treads a lot of dirt. And understand that the moment you walk into a relationship, that if you are not ready to take on dirt, do not get involved in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying don't date. I think dating is one of those things that you should do to understand yourself and to understand what you want in your life. But what I'm saying is that don't date uselessly, mm-hmm. because doing that is a waste of time.
Yeah.
Especially with, you know, for yourself, is if you date uselessly, are you really learning anything? When you look at a relationship, can you walk into that relationship and learn something about yourself and take away something from that partner? Even if it doesn't turn out well, the reason why most of the time it doesn't turn out well is because one or the other cannot take on the other person's dirt. Or there's no communication. Communication is one of the hardest things in a relationship.
It's true.
Dating is great, but do it right. I wanted to say thank you. Today's episode was, I think it's something that needed to be talked about. You know, a lot of people are going through relationships, going through, you know, that phase of wanting to get married, or, you know, they've been in a relationship for 2 to 3 years and now they're hitting that roadblock and that speed bump.
Yeah. You know, like, especially with this pandemic, if you live with your partner, you're married or not, you're forced to see each other every day and to deal with the problems that were there. But, you know, everybody has their own lives. Everybody's constantly doing things. So when, you know, because of what's happening right now, you're forced to deal with it head on, because, I mean, you obviously can't go outside or go to work, you know?
Yep.
So a lot of people are going through this right now, you know? And I personally know people that are going through very tough times with their partners, you know? Because you realize that because you're so busy, you know, like you're going through a hard day at work or at home, you just want to be happy when you're with your partner. When you're with them as often as you do, you know, like, there's that time alone with them.
Yeah.
And you're forced to, how do you say this? Like, you're forced to talk about it.
Yeah.
Even when you don't want to.
And you got to understand that in a relationship, it's not always going to be happy times.
Of course.
There's going to be super hard times, super depressed times, and you're gonna have your ups and your downs, mm-hmm. but that's life. That's a relationship. We want to do this episode today to allow our listeners and to allow those that may be going through something a different perspective, mm-hmm. and a perspective from people that are now married and have gone through the hardest parts of their relationship together here. Mm-hmm. I wanted to, once again, just say thank you. Today's episode is one that was a little harder to talk about, yes. And we had to dig a little deeper. This is going to be the end of this episode. Thank you for 1,000 downloads and listens to our podcast.
We hit 1K.
Yeah, so thank you for that. I'm so grateful. I never thought this podcast would even hit that number.
Honestly, I didn't expect much to come out of this podcast when we started.
Me too.
You know, like, it was a way for us to just get things off of our chest, because, you know, we've gone through quite a bit and we don't talk about it, but we just, you know, just we just set up a mic and we talk. But I honestly didn't think that we'd get 1K. So that's something, honestly. Something for the books.
Yep.
And it's just, hopefully, it just grows from there.
Yep. So thank you so much for 1K. It means a lot more than you guys will ever think it does. You know, I've said it since day one that I'm grateful for even one listen. I'm grateful for one subscriber. I'm grateful for just one person caring. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We're also on Apple Podcasts.
Yes, we're on Apple Podcasts. Go ahead, give us a like, give us 5 stars. It actually helps. And
let us know you're alive, please.
Yeah, go to Instagram, follow us on the Statues Podcast. Let us know you're alive. Thank you so much, guys. This is your host and co-host signing off. Bye-bye.